You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
It's Tuesday and it's Agri Tuesday, and this week we're taking a look at a very interesting concept that's been around for quite some time, but it seems people haven't really been paying too much attention to it. We're looking into regenerative farming. We're trying to understand what that is and how the process works. I'm joined on the line by the owner of Meyerzest Farm, Barry Meyer, to take a look at this concept and try and understand what it is. Good evening, Barry. Thanks so much for taking the time. What is regenerative farming?
It's basically the four principles of holistic farming. The first one is using no chemicals, no fertilizer, and minimal soil disturbance. The second one is always trying to have cover on the ground with green leaves, with roots in the ground. That covers the ground, keeps it cool, and puts carbon in the soil. The third one is you never plant a monoculture, which means you should never just plant maize or lucerne. There should always be other plants planted with it. And then the fourth principle is you should always include some form of livestock that can eat the product that's left over and recycle it through their stomachs, and in the term of cows, ferment it and leave the manure on the ground, which reintroduces bacteria to the soil.
Barry, let's take a step back before we look at the four principles in a bit of detail. Take me through the part of the regenerative farming where we actually revive what would essentially be considered sort of lifeless dirt or lifeless dust.
Yes, that's exactly. So we start with dirt and hopefully we end up with soil. So in our case, we were started on an ostrich farm. And it was mostly quite bare soil. And of course, the problem with bare soil is when the sun bakes it, it kills all life forms in the soil. So somehow you need to get back to where there's a soil biome. So we need to make the soil become alive again. And the way to do that is to go to these principles and start them. It doesn't just happen overnight. But we're in the case of where farmers are actually farming at the moment, i.e. they are wheat farmers or maize farmers, for them it's much easier to introduce a regenerative agriculture. All they have to do is just increase their biodiversity, and not, for argument's sake, say in the case of wheat farmers where they bale the chaff once they've harvested. What you really want to do is you want to leave that chaff on the ground, keep it covered, and ideally, if you've harvested early enough, you want to try and get a cover crop planted, which is a multi-species, that you then the next year can terminate mechanically and then plant your wheat into it.
Barry, you mentioned that this is obviously not a very quick process. How long does the process actually take, and can we regenerate anything?
Yes, we can. I mean, it's actually a very... In my case, it took a little bit longer because I started really with bare dirt. But most farmers don't actually have bare dirt. All they have to do is they have to make a mind shift. The biggest thing to get into regenerative agriculture, you have to decide to make a mind shift where you're going to go out and find out why you shouldn't be applying nitrogen, why you shouldn't be applying chemicals that kill weeds and also thus kill your soil. So that's where we start. We need to make a mind shift. And once we've made the mind shift, then it becomes very easy to do. And I think one of the things that's making the mind shift easier is the input costs for farmers in South Africa have become enormous. I mean, fertilizer and chemicals, with the exchange rate the way it is right now, has become so large that farming has become under great financial pressure, and farmers are actually starting to look in great numbers at a way to produce food that is at a lower expense. Barry, and fundamentally, that'll be the driving force for us.
Barry, you've been at this for more than 10 years. What have you been able to bring back? Can you just take us through some of the successes that you've seen in the regenerative agricultural space in terms of what's been achieved in this process?
Okay. So ultimately, in my case, I'm a beef farmer, okay? So, and my beef walk on pastures that are irrigated, okay? And cows eat 2% of their own weight in dry matter every day, okay? That's a simple number. That's an internationally recognized number. And So I started out by producing about 12 tons of dry matter per year. This year, we will produce more than 50 tons of dry matter per year. So we are currently standing where we started out with one cow per hectare. We are now standing where we can raise 5 cows with their babies per hectare. And that is ultimately the proof that this system works.
Barry, when we look at the costs associated with regenerative agriculture, is it a fairly inexpensive process? I mean, you outlined kind of 4 key areas that need to go into this, and I just want to get a sense of if a farmer is out there looking to say, maybe there's a piece of land I want to regenerate or bring back to life, is there a costly exercise involved here?
No, there is absolutely no additional cost. It is really just a mindset change. You need to go and be curious about what is the life in your soil. I think if you become curious about that, it all falls into line. And you get up in the morning, it's not what am I going to have to spray today to kill. Your point is what you want is what can I keep alive. I mean, I have seen such a return of wildlife on my farm. I have hundreds and hundreds of birds that are now on my farm. And mainly because we don't have any toxic chemicals on the farm.
Barry, you mentioned obviously that you are involved in livestock as well, and that I mean, you told me as well that your farm is in or near Oudtshoorn in South Africa. I want to get a sense of all the livestock, the wildlife, everything that's been able to return to your farm. In terms of quality of the meats, for example, that you produce, or the qualities of the fruits that you produce, is the quality inferior in any way to what a normal farm would be able to produce, or is it even better?
Well, when we do regenerative agriculture, what we're looking at is food density. So our argument is that food that is produced without chemicals and fertilizer is nutritionally more healthy for people, and that applies to livestock as well, if that makes any sense. And it doesn't mean that food that comes from a normal farmer is bad. We're just saying that we can produce an equal or better quality product by just changing the way we farm.
Certainly a very, very interesting approach to the farming space and an approach to how we deal with farming. Barry, is this something that we've seen applied outside of South Africa? I know you've spent some time abroad as well. Is this a concept that we as South Africa are new to, whilst the rest of the world might be further ahead with?
Okay, I should explain a little bit. I'm totally Afrikaans. I lived in the United States for 35 years, and I actually didn't learn any about this in the United States. I had to come back to South Africa to learn about this. And we have a great movement in South Africa. I think where we are lacking a little bit is we are not doing as much research in South Africa. But there are thousands of farmers in South Africa that have adopted regenerative agriculture. I belong to several WhatsApp groups, and anybody can join these, and where we are talking about issues. Because, I mean, one of the problems with regenerative agriculture for us is that it's not like everybody's doing it. So you can't just drive over to your neighbor, Yanni, and say, hey, you know, I've got this. What do we do about this? So we have created all these WhatsApp groups, which have made a cohesive group. And I think one of the real drivers behind these groups is a man by the name of Andrew Ardington, who's head of the Regenerative Association of South Africa. As far as research that's being done, it seems like Australia is especially strong in research. They have really made a commitment, and there are scientists from Australia who have had a great impact. And I want to mention especially Christine Jones, who's a soil scientist out of Australia. And her research has been very, very helpful to people to change. The other one is the Jena experiment in Germany. They have the longest running trials for plant groups that we should be planting within our pastures or within your crops. And they are starting to publish a lot of results. Actually, most of their results were released last year, and that's a 40-year study. And so the information is out there. It takes a mind shift first to say, you know, can I do what I'm doing better firstly. And then the second one is the curiosity factor of going out there and looking on the internet in terms of with search engines, or you can go to, I'm going to say the name, YouTube. I mean, there are many, many videos there that are extremely helpful that help the farmer, but you have to be curious. If you don't have that, I think this is a hard sell.
Regenerative agriculture, regenerative farming, it requires a lot of curiosity and a lot of research, but it is well worth it. I think we'll leave it at that, Barry. Thanks so much for the time and for the insights. That's Barry Mayer, who is the owner of Mayer's Rus Farm, a farm in Oudtshoorn that has been practicing regenerative farming for quite some time.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.